I guess this is a mini series. If we need a title for the series, it's Stay on Course. Turn to your neighbor and say, that sounds pretty good. Okay. And today's title, as I said, is called Locked In. Now, locked in doesn't mean you're in this room, we lock the doors, and you can't get out. Okay. I mean, that locked in can mean that. But locked in also means you hone in on something and you don't let anything, you don't let anyone, you don't let anybody, any circumstance, anything cause you to take your eyes off your target. You stay on it until you accomplish it, period. So we're going to talk about being locked in today. I may have to move a little quickly, but oh, that's the time. I thought that I saw 10:36. I thought that's all the time I had left. So I'm fast, but not that fast. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16 is all, it's our launching point. Message Bible. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. Amen? Revere God, respect the government. Now, we started out several months ago, probably in March or February, we started out talking about how God designed and equipped us to be the controlling factor here in the earth. Because we keep looking for God to move, he keeps looking for us to move. Because he gave us authority. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And he said, but I'll still have dominion. No, that's not what he said. He said, let them have dominion. Some translations say, let them be the caretakers of this earth. Let them, let us, not him. He said he gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and everything that we loose is loose, and everything that we bind is bound. He didn't say, I will bind or I will loose. He said, they will. Why? Because he created us to be the controlling factor here on this planet. And we talked about that even though, you know, stuff's happening, pandemics and all these other emics and things are happening, not making light of it, but you shouldn't make it as heavy as we have made it. But those things come, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But God said through the prophet Joel, I will restore the years the years that the cankerworm has stolen. So it doesn't matter to God how long something's been going on. He said he will restore. And we also found out that when he restores, it's better than it was before. That Job lost everything, got it back doubled. Why? Because he stayed faithful. Because he stayed locked into what he knew. And then we started talking about how God needs us to be authentic believers. What do I mean by that? He wants us to be genuine replicas of him here on the earth. Genuine. Not every now and then. But in everything we do, he wants us to replicate him. And the main thing he wants us to replicate is his love. Because if he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, you love one another, everybody will know you're my disciples. Yes, yes. When they see the love. And so I started thinking, you know, as I was thinking about this, I said, well, okay, why God? Why teach things? Why have me do things in that order? Why have Pastor Ed teach, you know, the way you have him moving? And he said, everything I do is designed to get you to stay locked in. Everything I designed to do was to get you to stay locked in. Yes. Look at Mark 16. See, wasn't that God just didn't have anything better to do? There are things that he expects of us. And he knows that the only way we can do it is through Christ. Because he's the one that had written, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at Mark 16. I'm going to share it in the Passion Translation. And then you could find Psalm 91. I'm going to reference that in a few minutes. Mark 16, beginning with verse 14, Passion Translation. Then Jesus appeared before the 11 apostles as they were eating a meal. He corrected them for having such hard, unbelieving hearts because they did not believe those who saw him after his resurrection. And he said to them, as you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miracle signs, say miracle signs, will accompany those who believe. Say the miracle signs will only accompany those who believe. Okay. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. Now, let me clear something up for you. Because there are people that go around, you know, and you see them, you know, and you know, they're mocked and all of this stuff. And because they go around and they're picking up snakes and they're drinking nasty stuff because they say, well, that's what the Bible says. Well, I need to clear something up because, that's what we read, but it's an idiom. It's an expression.
Yes.
Okay? There are two Aramaic idioms in that scripture. And if you want to know what an idiom is, it's just a phrase. For example, if someone, you know, goes home to be with the Lord, or speaking in worldly, if someone dies, they say that person kicked the bucket. Right? Kick the bucket is an idiom. They didn't just kick the bucket and pass out and go to heaven. You know, but that's just an expression that's used. And there are two expressions in here. You know, one, to pick up snakes is a reference to overcoming one's enemies. Because they're referring to that person as a snake. Because snakes are dangerous, snakes are poisonous. Snakes produce venom. And so they're saying someone who's your enemy is like a snake. Do you understand that? Drinking poison, they say, speaking of dealing with attacks on your character. Like poisonous words. Okay? So Jesus said, if you believe, you'll trample all over your enemies and you won't be affected by anything they say about you. You understand? And they get that from Psalm 91. Would you go there? You may not be able to find, it's hard to find New Testament, Old Testament references in the Passion Translation, so I'll just share it. I don't think they have it to put up. But Psalm 91, verse 13 in the Passion Translation says, you'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them under your feet. So after Jesus told them what would happen in his name, he lifted up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of God. And the apostles went out announcing the good news everywhere. And the Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message. The only way he could validate the message is they went out speaking the message in truth and in faith. And he validated the message they preached with miracle signs that accompanied them. Why is that important? It said these miracle signs will follow those that believe. Say it again, those that believe. So since Jesus said that he'll authenticate us, he'll show us it's genuine that what we say and do, it has to line up with his instructions, of course. But we shout hallelujah. But did something happen back in Mark 16, 14 that we don't really talk about? I know I mentioned it a couple of times, but I haven't heard any teaching on it. If you have, you could tell me after, you know. But we will read it, but we just read it to, you know, sometimes you'll read something to get to the good part. You know, we need to understand that all of God's word is the good part. Okay. And we need to pay it. The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable. And the reason it's profitable is so that the man or woman of God can be fully equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have to look at everything that he said. So back in Mark 16, 14, we read it, but I found out as I read it and kind of studied it out that what Jesus said in Mark 16, 14 has greater importance than the Great Commission. It says, how can anything be more than the Great Commission? I'll tell you. Then Jesus appeared before the 11 apostles as they were eating a meal. He corrected them for having such hard, unbelieving hearts because they did not believe those who saw him after his resurrection. He went to his original disciples and gave it to them. he took them to task. The Message Bible says still later, as the 11 were eating supper, he appeared and took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief. Their stubborn unbelief, refusing to believe that those who had seen him raise up. Now, see, folks, it wasn't that they were not believing Mary when she came and told them that Jesus was risen and she had seen him, but they were not believing what he said. We have to get to the place where we believe everything he says. Okay. He took them to task because they didn't believe what he said. Why do I look at Mark 16? Because we were at verse 14, go back to verse 9. I'm going to read from 9 to 13. And then we're going to jump back a little to Mark 8. It says, early the first day of the week, this is after Jesus was resurrected, because it says, after rising from the dead, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. After that, after she had seen Jesus, she ran to tell who? His disciples, who were all emotionally devastated and weeping. Excitedly, Mary told them, he's alive and I've seen him. But even after hearing this, they didn't believe her. After this, Jesus appeared to two of the disciples who were on their way to another village, appearing in a form they did not recognize. But they went back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, but they didn't believe it was true. They didn't believe it. So, well, why was that so terrible? Because again, it's not that they weren't believing Mary. It's not that they weren't believing other disciples. They were not believing that what Jesus told them was true. Well, what did he tell them that was true? Look at Mark 8. Verse 31, Passion Translation. That's why that passage, Mark 16, 14, this is why it's so important. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples that he, the Son of Man, was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer great injustice from the elders, leading priests, and religious scholars. He, listen to this carefully, he also explained, he didn't just tell them, he explained that he would be killed and 3 days later be raised to life again. Verse 32, Jesus opened his heart and spoke freely with his disciples, explaining all these things to them. So Jesus took time to explain what was going to happen to him and why it was going to happen and what was going to be the result of it happening to all of his disciples. He told them, this is what's going to happen. Now, before we judge the disciples, remember, he also said to us, in this world, you will have tribulations. But we get upset when tribulations come. Right? They didn't want to hear those things. Peter, it says, then Peter took him aside and rebuked him. But Jesus turned around and glancing at all of the other disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get out of my sight, Satan, for your heart is not set on God's plan, but man's. When we fail to believe what Jesus said, it's because we're choosing to believe what man said over what he said. We fail to believe what Jesus said, and we put more emphasis on what man says. Mark 9, verse 30 to 32, King James Version. Another instance. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any of man should know, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. There oftentimes God will tell you something, you don't understand it, but you won't ask about it. Why won't you ask? You want me to tell you the truth? You don't want to hear it. Because understanding takes away excuses. So Jesus told them what would happen. They're like, what does he mean by that? You going to ask him? No, I'm not going to ask him anything. Matthew 17, verse 22, Passion Translation. When they all gathered together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and turned over to his enemies. They will kill him, and in 3 days they will be resurrected. When the disciples heard these words, they were devastated. There's a virus coming. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? We get devastated when things happen. Jesus told us these things are going to happen. He didn't tell us that because he wanted us to walk around devastated. He was giving us information so that we can, as Pastor Clinton would always say, prepare for war in a time of peace. Jesus took the time to share in great detail, folks, exactly what was going to happen. He takes the time to explain to us exactly. The Holy Ghost, one of the Holy Ghost's jobs is to show us things to come. We don't want to know. Or I should say, we only want to know if it's something that's going to be good. And the moment we hear something that we don't like, we tune out. It's just, you know, it's harder for you to do it here because people will see you get up and walk out. See, online, you guys can just turn me off or something, and no one will know. But we have to realize that if Jesus says it, we want to hear about it. So now Mary comes and shares with them exactly what Jesus said would happen has happened. And she saw it with her own eyes, and they didn't believe her, which means they didn't believe Jesus. They wouldn't believe what Jesus said to them. If you're not going to believe what Jesus said to you, how are signs going to follow? The first time you face opposition, you're going to fall to pieces. So when that's why Jesus had to go and get them to develop a different mindset. He had to get unbelief out of them so that he can give them the Great Commission. Because if you can't believe that Jesus said he would rise again from the dead, and he did, how are you going to believe you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? The same person said it. How can you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature if you don't believe you can? You don't believe that Jesus meant it when he said it. So the first thing that Jesus knew had to happen was he had to get the unbelief out of his disciples. He had to get the unbelief out of those who were with him while he performed all these miracles. Which leads, you know, which really scraps an old adage, seeing ain't believing. Because they saw. They not only saw, this is the same bunch that said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he has to get on their case because they didn't believe. Amen. There are many of you here, you've laid hands on the sick and they recover. Then you get sick and you think you can't recover. Have to get the unbelief out of you so that you can experience everything that Jesus said. Yes, yes, yes. He didn't say everybody can get healed except you. And if he did say that, you wouldn't believe it. But we have to stay. I'm not saying that what I'm trying to say is that we look at the Great Commission, and we're supposed to stay locked in on going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to be locked in on that. But before we can get locked in, we have to get the unbelief locked out. Because if we don't, we'll never stay locked in. We'll look at the target, and we'll hear a rumbling, and we'll go, "What's that?" And when we turn back, we're off target. Then we're scrambling, trying to find, where am I supposed to be? And we hear something else, we go looking at that. No, we're supposed to stay locked in, no matter what comes. How much time do I have? Okay. Paul told us in Philippians 3, he gave us a key. This is verse 12 to 14 in the Message Bible. And it's subtitled, Focused on the Goal. Beginning with verse 12, Paul said, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made. But I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wonderfully, wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So I may not be doing everything the right way, but I'm locked in. I am locked in on what Jesus told me. And despite my shortcomings, I'm going where he sent me. The Message Bible in Philippians 3, 13 to 14. I think I doubled the scripture. Yeah, I did, so I'll read it again anyway. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I haven't made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert. You don't have to know everything in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal. All you need to do is keep your eye on the goal. As they used to say a few years ago, keep your eyes on the prize. Yeah. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. See, when you're locked in, you have total concentration on the task at hand. Total concentration. Nothing and no one can deter you from your mission. And you don't care what you have to endure. You don't care how long it takes. And you don't care who's against you. Amen. And you don't look to see, is anybody with me or I'm out here alone? You're never alone. Never alone. No matter what happens, you stick to the mark.
Yes. Yes.
You stick to your task. Yes. You never let it out of your sight.
Hallelujah.
Our responsibility, folks, as believers, is to stay locked in.
Yes. Yes.
On target.
Yes.
No matter what. It's
yes.
God's responsibility to clear the way.
Yes.
We see the target and we head for it. We don't look at what's in front of us. We look at the goal. And if there's anything there, it's up to the one who gave us the assignment to clear the way or to guide us through whatever is there.
Yes.
See, in World War II, I wasn't in the Army in World War II. I've talked to people at war and I've read things about it. And most of us are familiar with the Tuskegee Airmen, known that they were known as the Red Tails. See, there were bombers that our Air Force would send out to destroy targets. Bombers were usually huge aircrafts because they were loaded down with heavy bombs. And while they had guns, they couldn't maneuver very well because they were just too big. So the enemy would send out these fighter jets to pick off the bombers. And the bombers couldn't properly defend themselves because, quite frankly, they weren't designed to fight. These planes were designed to drop bombs on targets. So the bombers, often they would turn back from the onslaught of fighters from the enemy. So what did our Army do? They sent out squadrons of fighter pilots who had one job, clear the way so that the bombers can get there and back safely. And nobody did it better than the Tuskegee Airmen. It got to the place where even those who were prejudiced against them wanted them as their protectors because they were good at what they did. And they had, I believe they had one of the best records in bombers going out and coming back without being destroyed. So all the bombers had to do was stay on target and let the fighters do what they were sent to do. We said the song we sometimes sing, Angels Watching Over Me, all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord, all night, all day. And said, it's not correct English, but I like the part where it said, got me some angels.
Amen.
Their job, clear the way.
Yes,
yes. My job, do what God said.
Yes, sir.
Their job, be concerned about what's out there trying to stop me. My job, be concerned about staying on focus, staying on the goal, staying on target, being locked in. That's my job. Be locked in, complete my assignment. That'd be my job. Angel's job, clear the way. Clear the way. Why? So that I can get through and do what I'm called to do. So it doesn't matter. I don't have to be fast. Because my angels are fast. By the time I see something and process what I should do, they've already done it. And the time that I spend trying to figure out what to do is taking me longer than it should to get to my goal. I lose my focus. I start looking at man, they're fast. They're faster than I am. Look at the guns that they have. I don't have anything that can compete with that. No, I don't. But I got the Holy Ghost. I got angels. And I got God's word.
Yes.
That I choose to believe that there's no weapon that's formed against me that shall prosper. There's no weapon formed against me that will stop me from completing my goal.
Amen.
If I stay focused on my target, if I stay focused on my target, Acts 20. Starting at verse 18, I'm not going to have the time I want to really get into this, so I'll just read it. When they arrived, the Apostle Paul said to them, "You yourselves are well acquainted with my manner of living among you from the first day that I set foot in the province of Asia and how I continued afterward, serving the Lord with all humility, in tears, in the midst of adversity, affliction, and trials which befell me due to the plots of the Jews against me, how I did not shrink from telling you anything that was for your benefit and teaching you in public meetings and from house to house." Verse 22, "And now you see him going to Jerusalem, bound by the Holy Spirit and obligated and compelled by the convictions of my own spirit, not knowing what will befall me there, except the only thing I know about my assignment is that the Holy Spirit clearly and emphatically affirms to me in city after city, imprisonment and suffering await me." Saying, well, why would he go? That he was sent. That was his target. That was his mission. And this is what he said about the adversity that he knew was going to happen. Verse 24, "None of these things move me. Neither do I esteem my life dear to me, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained, which was entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus, faithfully to attest to the good news, the gospel of God's grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, and mercy." In Acts 27, I'm going to have to unhook after this, but in Acts 27, verses 22 to 26, King James Version, Paul said, now, this is when he was on the ship, and he told them, we need to stay in port. And they didn't listen, and they got caught in the storm, and they were afraid. They were thinking everybody was going to die. And Paul said to them, now, first of all, he said to them, you should have listened to me. But then he said, but you didn't listen to me. That's okay, because now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. Why should they believe that? Verse 23, "For they stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Fear not, Paul, you have not yet completed your assignment. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee." So he said, not only are you going to be okay, everybody with you, it's going to be okay. Okay? He said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Here it is, folks. "For I believe God that it shall be even as he told me." That's what he was trying to get in the disciples before he could give them the Great Commission. He needs to get them, you have to believe that it will be exactly how I told you. He said, "Howbeit, you must be cast upon a certain island. Believe what I told you, but you're going to go through some stuff. Believe what he told you, but you're going to go through some stuff." That's what Jesus needs us to do. Stay locked in we have to, as Pastor Clinton wrote in the song, When I Believe, he said, when I choose to believe every word, there is nothing that I need that he won't supply. When I believe, if God said it, that settles it. If God said it, that settles it. So no matter what you're going through, no matter who's with you, who's against you, you stay locked in. Because God gave you a word. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just the ones that look nice and clean and look like they're going to receive you. He said, to every creature. And these signs shall follow, not might follow. But it will only follow those who believe. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for the word that you've shared with us this morning. Thank you for letting us know that there are times we get over into unbelief. And if there are times we get into unbelief, it means that we haven't got our faith walk settled. Thank you, Lord, for helping us settle our faith walk, letting us fully understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that because we're the just, we live by faith. Thank you for continually giving us revelation as to what that means and how it applies to us as your children. And we thank you, Father, that once we got that locked down, that we will stay locked in and be the authentic Christians. You show the world that we are your authentic children by what we do. And that everything we do, because it's in line with your word, you're able to validate it with signs following. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You get anything out of that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Two, very quickly. In order to stay locked in, in order to hear what Jesus says, you have to have him living on the inside of you. If not, it's trying to read a book that's still on the shelf at Barnes & Noble. No, you have to take it in. And then find out who you are because of what you've taken in. In this case, you got to find out who you are in Christ. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody gets to the Father unless they go through him. Nobody. So I want to give you an opportunity to get to the Father. Say, how do you do it? Well, you talk your way into it. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. So just say this after me. Father God, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died on the cross, was buried, went to hell for me, because he went for the sins of mankind, and I'm a sinner. But after 3 days, you raised him from the dead. And he's now seated at your right hand. Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance. And I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friends, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. You just did that. And so what I'm asking, if you're here in this room, I would ask you to just stand because we have some free information we want to give you. If you're out there online, there's contact information on the screen. Please let us know by email, mail, phone, stop by the office. let us know, I prayed with Pastor Greg and I received Jesus Christ. We will give you the same information we'd give those here. And it's free. There's no charge for it. We just want to let you know who you've become and get you started off on the right track. And if you have any questions about anything we share today, use the same contact information. Send me an email, a letter, a phone. Even if you yell at me, I'm still going to read it, and I'm never going to stop loving you.